We are at the conclusion of this section of Sefer Nehemiah, the section that begins Vatera Esani Avosena B'Mitzrayim, that Hashem saw our affliction in Mitzrayim. We're not exactly at Pesach yet, but this is a good introduction to get ready for Pesach. And the Pasuk says that Hashem observed the suffering of our forefathers in Egypt. Vatakam Estevarecha Kitzadik Atah, that Hashem kept his word because Hashem is righteous. Now these Pesukim, again, we find in Nehemiah explaining the reason why Hashem took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. The previous Pesukim talk about how Hashem created the world, he chose Avram Avinu, and eventually went down to Egypt. That's a pretty good summary of the first 2,000 years of Jewish history. And why is it that Hashem took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? The Pasuk here, Nehemiah, gives three reasons why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And he mentions 3 points. He says, first of all, Batakim es devarecha, ki tzadik atah, that Hashem keeps his word because he is righteous. That Hashem fulfilled the word to who? The word that he promised to Avram Avinu that we began to discuss in this section. Hashem fulfills his promise to the Bris Avos. And yes, there were sins that were done, and we neglected Bris Milah, and the Malachim accused us of being no better than the Egyptians. The Malachim told Hashem, Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah, but Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah. What's the, why are you saving the Jewish people? The Egyptians worship Avodah Zarah, and so do the Jewish people. They're not worthy of anything. And we were essentially not worthy of any geula. But do you know why we're taken out? Because Hashem keeps his promises. Vatakam estevarecha ki tzadik ata, Hashem, you keep your promise because you are righteous. And then we are told, Vatera es ani avosenu b'mitzrayim. And Hashem saw the ani, the pain, right? Lechem oni, like the bread of suffering. He saw the pain of our forefathers in Egypt. And that pain went up before Hashem, and it was their cries that came out due to the servitude of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Then, as a side point, this is not essential, but as a side point, the pasuk says, Vatitein oso sumosim, he made signs, he did miracles with Paro and all of his servants, Ubachol Amarzo and the people of Egypt. Because why? Because Hashem knows that they were mazed. They purposely did what? They purposely afflicted us. And the Egyptians got exactly what they deserved for hurting the Jewish people. And then the third point in this section is Vataslacha Shem Kayomazah. There was a making of Hashem's name. There was a Gilui Shechina. Hashem's name became known throughout the entire world because of the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it raised the glory and the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the world. Should we review those very quickly? Hashem keeps his promises. He heard the pain and suffering of the Jews in Egypt, and subsequently, a Kiddush Hashem was made, and Hashem's name was known throughout the world. Now, I want to show you that Nehemiah, Ezra Nehemiah, who wrote this section of Tanakh, they were actually, we're good. It was actually based on other psukim. If you look, I have in front of you 3 psukim that come from Parshas Va'era, the second parsha in Shmos. In those psukim, it says the exact same thing that we find over here. It just said differently. Look at this. Va'era el Avraham el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov v'kel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem lo nadati lehem. Hashem tells Moshe, I appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and my name Hashem, I did not yet fully reveal to them. That corresponds to which point that we just said? That's point number 3, right? That Hashem is going to make his name revealed, known throughout the world. And then Hashem tells Moshe, V'gam hakimosi es brisi itam, laseislam es eretz knan, es eretz migurehem asher garu ba. And I'm going to keep my bris, my what? My promise to give them the land of Israel because it does belong to us, as opposed to what some protesters in Lawrence might have said today. The land does belong to us. It is a pasuk in the Bible. Eretz Megurehem Asher Garuba. That corresponds to which point? That is number 1. That's the first one, right? That Hashem keeps his promises. And then Hashem tells Moshe, V'gam ani shamati es na'akas b'nei Yisrael asher Mitzrayim avdim osam v'eskoros b'si. And I hear the cries, the suffering of the Jewish people, that the Egyptians are afflicting them. That corresponds to number 2. So look at that. We think that Ezra Nehemiah came up with a whole new idea. It's not true. Ezra Nehemiah is simply repeating what Hashem told Moshe in Mitzrayim that he was going to do. Let's continue. So the pasuk says in davening, right? We say every day in davening, hopefully we say every day in davening, if we're not skipping too much, that I saw the afflictions of your forefathers in Egypt, and their cries I heard by Yamsuf. Okay, we need to unpack this seemingly innocent but very complicated pasuk. The pasuk highlights that in Mitzrayim, the pain and suffering of Bnei Yisrael was observed by Kadosh Baruch Hu. But it was only at Yamsuf that he heard their za'akasam. Za'akam means their davening, their tefilos. So what's the pasuk? There's two things here. In Mitzrayim, he observed our pain. Do we not daven also in Mitzrayim? That we're saying now only at Kriyas Yamsuf that we Hashem heard our davening? Why is Hashem hearing our pain in Mitzrayim, but he hears our davening at Yamsuf? Another question is that apparently, for some reason, this is just a global question. You ever wonder this? Why did Hashem divide Yetzias Mitzrayim into two parts? Right? We all know we have first days of Pesach and last days of Pesach. What are the first days of Pesach for? That we got out of Egypt. What's the last days of Pesach for? That Hashem split the sea and we got out of Egypt. Why did Hashem need to turn Yetzias Mitzrayim into a dual, two-part event? Why couldn't he have just done the whole thing in one wrap-up? In one day, take them out, split the sea, be done. Why did Hashem need to break it up into two parts? The first part being the leaving the bondage of Egypt, and the second part being the destruction of Egypt at Yamsuf. After Bnei Yisrael redeemed, B'yad Chazakah, B'zor Netuyah, all of these big things. Why did Hashem feel the need to have a two-part event? Everyone hears the question? It's a fair question, right? Why does that do the whole thing all at one time? Therefore, what we see over here, perhaps, is that the real and complete geula from Egypt only occurred at Kriyas Yamsuf. Because only then could we say, Vayosha Hashem Bayomahu Es Yisrael Mian Mitzrayim. That on that day we were completely saved, right? We never say we were saved from Egypt until Hashem split the sea. In fact, there's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says in Masechus Pesachim that Bnei Yisrael did not say Hallel on the night that they left Egypt. Did you know that? They only said Hallel when they split the sea. They did not say Hallel on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the geula would not be complete until the splitting of the sea. But again, this two-part event. Why did Hashem need part A and part B? So let's learn a medrash together. Can I have a cup of water, please? Let's learn a medrash together in Shmos Rabbah. The medrash says, everyone sees there inside, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Lama hadavar doma. What are the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuk life? Doma lemelech, it is like a king, thank you. It's like a king who was traveling on the way. And a princess was crying out to be helped. Please help me. Save me from these evil bandits, these robbers, these terrorists. Please come and save me, please. The king heard the princess and he saved her. Afterwards, the king kind of like wanted to make a move on the princess. He wanted to, maybe want to get married, want to go out, go for a cup of coffee, whatever it is. But he wants to get together with her. He just wanted to talk with her. And she gave him the cold shoulder. Look at that. A chutzpah. What did the king do? He kind of arranged that she end up again in that bad part of town. The robbers kind of like have to come and get her. And the king will then come in again and save the day. And then the princess cries out. The king comes in once again. And therefore the king says, I did this because I want to hear your voice. Now, I want to be clear. That's not the most safe and stable relationship where the man puts the woman into danger so that she calls out for him and then has to come and save him. We're not saying that's a healthy relationship. But we're saying a mushel over here regarding Hashem and the Jewish people. In Mitzrayim, when Bnei Yisrael under the hands of the Egyptians, and they were suffering, they were in pain, they were not able to daven to Hashem. They just cried out in pain. There was no tefillah. There was no asking for a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Mitzrayim. What were the cries of Yetzias Mitzrayim? The cries of Yetzias Mitzrayim were, we don't know what to do. We're just in such pain. We have no place to go. We're just screaming out for something. Once they were no longer under the subjugation of the Egyptians, then Hashem said, but we need a relationship here. We need to do something where you're not going to just scream out in pain. You're going to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Davin. So Hashem arranged Yetzias Mitzrayim to alter B'nai Yisrael's understanding of what the relationship is supposed to be. Hashem needed to teach B'nai Yisrael that when you are in pain, you don't just scream out. What do? You Davin. You turn to Hashem. You ask Hashem for help. You ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the Pasuk in Shmos Yedalin. Uparo Hikriv, Vayisu B'nai Yisrael, Esainam. Paro came closer. B'nai Yisrael raised their eyes. V'hinei, Mitzrayim Nosa Achareyam. The Egyptians are coming after them. Vayirumo, they were scared. Vayitzako B'nai Yisrael El Hashem. Hashem orchestrated that so B'nai Yisrael would learn that when we are Be'ez Tzara, we don't just scream. We scream out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And only after they called out to Hashem and they lifted up their eyes, it was now possible for Hashem for them to respond to them in that way and to split the sea. The problem is this. We have multiple sources that they did daven in Mitzrayim. Or they did cry out, right? I'll give you one pasuk, okay? Look at the pasuk over here in Shmos Chaf. It was in those days. And the king of Egypt died. You all know the story. B'nei Yisrael groaned from the work. And they called out. And their pleas went out to Hashem. Min avoda, because of the avoda. Hashem heard their groans. What is that? What does that seem to describe? Crying to Hashem. It seems like davening to Hashem, right? So how can the Medrash say that they didn't daven to Hashem? When the Pasuk says explicitly, when the new king, or however you want to understand the Medrash, came, they did daven to Hashem. So let me share with you a very important comment of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rishon or Achron?
Achron.
Very good, okay?
So much paper.
And Achron. So the Or HaChaim says as follows. Listen to what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says. Reb Chaim ben Attar lived in the 1700s in North Africa and then in Eretz Yisrael. He says, let's read the Pasuk again. We're going to read it now. I bolded the words of the Pasuk, so you see how he understands the Pasuk. Let's read the Pasuk again. Vayhi b'yamim arimahim, v'yamas melech l'tzram, v'yanchu b'nei Yisrael min avoda. B'nei Yisrael groaned from the work. Perish, lo shitzaku lekel. It doesn't mean they groaned to Hashem. Shiyoshim Hashem should save them. Ela tzaku min hatzar. Ka'adam hatzalek b'mechavo. If I punch someone in the stomach, they're going to groan. They're not going to say, and he groaned to Hashem. No, he groaned because he was punched in the stomach, right? He didn't groan to Hashem. It's the natural response to pain that he groaned. Umodiyah ha-kosev ki osa tzaka alsev ne-Hashem. And it happens to be, says the Or HaChaim, that groaning went before Hashem, whatever that means. It was heard by Hashem. Vu'amru, shavasam, min avoda perish, mitzar ha-avoda b'yishma Hashem esnaka, sam perish, haramas kol ka'avam. He heard the sounds of their pain. But says the Or HaChaim, did they daven into Hashem in Mitzrayim? No. They just groaned. They had cries. They were expressing their difficulty. But it wasn't a feeling of, oh, Hashem, you can save us. And that's what was lacking. So what we want to say here, and what our Pasuk is telling us, is that the point of Kriyas Yamsuf was to teach B'nai Yisrael to daven to Hashem. Not just to scream, but to scream out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the lesson of Kriyas Yamsuf. Look what it says in the end of Sefer Dvarim. Vayareo sanu hamitrim. You all know this because it's from the Haggadah. Vayareo sanu hamitrim. Vayanunu v'yitnu aleinu avodakasha. The Egyptians were bad to us and they gave us difficult work. Vanitzakal Hashem alkei avoseinu v'yishma Hashem eskaleinu. Vayar seinenu v'yasam aleinu v'yaslachatseinu. What does it mean? It says they cried out to Hashem. So according to the Rachaim, it seems that Tzaka is referring to that Tzaka of Kriyas Yamsuf. Listen to this, right? When it says v'netzakel Hashem l'kei v'seinu, it doesn't mean they davened. That second part of the pasuk happened at the splitting of the sea. When we're discussing the general events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it includes all the tefillos and the tzakos and the cries that took place over the entire event. So now, with that lengthy introduction, should we go back and look at our davening again?
Yeah.
This is all to explain one pasuk. Okay, let's re-examine the pasuk in Nehemiah. Vatera es oni avosenu b'mitzrayim. And he saw the pain and the suffering of our forefathers in Egypt. Meaning Hashem saw the suffering of Klal Yisrael. But did we dive into Hashem? No, he just saw our suffering. Stop. V'es za'akasam shamat al Yamsuf. And then later on, it was only at Yamsuf that he heard the tzaakos that were directed as pleading towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the pasuk means. It took time for us to understand it, but that's the pashup shot of the pasuk. That pasuk of Ateres Ani Avosenu B'Mitzrayim V'es Akasam Shemat Yamsuf needs to have a pause in between. First, Hashem saw the pain of the Jewish people, but we never really davened. And then at Yamsuf, V'es Akasam Shemat Al Yamsuf, there was another event 7 days later. The seventh day of Pesach is about commemorating how we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first day about Pesach is about commemorating how Hashem takes care of us no matter what. The seventh day of Pesach is about how we cry out to Hashem. That is what happened. That's where the Pasuk mentions both those things. Okay. Again? Okay. The first part is Vateiros and Nevesim in Mitzrayim. Hashem saw our pain in Mitzrayim. That's just the pain that we cry, we groaned in our suffering, and Hashem cared for us. Like a baby who cries. Does a baby necessarily cry for his mother? A little infant? He cries. And the mother hears it and picks up the baby. Right? That's what's happening. He's not necessarily crying for the mother. By Yamsuf, V'esakasim shemat Yamsuf, we learned that when we cry, we don't just cry. V'esakas shemata al Yamsuf. Hashem heard our cries because we dive into Hashem for the first time at Yamsuf. It's a two-part process in that pasuk. Okay? Let's move on. Kiadata kehezidu aleihem. That Hashem knew that they were mazed. They were purposefully evil against us. We're now going to discuss an important and critical aspect of Hashkafa. The Pasuk gives two reasons for the miracles that were done to Paro, his servants, and the nation. We're going to discuss most of the first part now, and we'll discuss the second part at the end. One reason was to punish Mitzrayim for their wickedness, right? The reason for all of the Eser Makos and the Yams of all those things was to punish Paro, his servants, and all the Egyptian people for the evil that they committed. Meaning, let's read the Pasuk. Ki adata, Hashem, you know, because only Hashem knows what is in the heart of each person, that what Mitzrayim was doing was mazed. It was purposely afflicting us. It's a similar lashon to what it says in Yisro. Atayadati ki gadol Hashem mikol elokim ki devar asher zadu aleihem. Hashem is great because he knew that Mitzrayim, there was no claim of like, oh, I didn't know what we were doing, we're just following orders. It's not true. The pasuk is telling us they were bemazed, like on Shabbos you can be b'shogeg or bemazed, right? They were mazed. They were purposeful in what they were doing to us. That's what the pasuk is saying. I want to learn together a Rambam. Let's look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva in Perek Vav. This is the end of Perek Vav. This Rambam is a very important Rambam for all aspects of Jewish thought. So if you haven't seen it before, let's learn it together. The Rambam wants to know a classic question. How come Mitzrayim was punished if what? Hashem told Avram that what was going to happen? What did Hashem tell Avram? Your children are going to go down to Egypt and be slaves, and I'm going to take you out. Is that fair, says the Rambam? If it was already predicted, and Hashem said it was going to happen, then weren't Paro, his servants, and all the Egyptians simply following the Nevuah of Hashem? Why were they punished? Everyone hears the question, right? Yeah. Let's look at the Rambam. Doesn't it say in the Torah that I'm going to make them servants, I'm going to make them slaves, I'm going to afflict them? The Egyptians were seemingly already told they were going to be bad boys and girls. They were already told they were going to misbehave. So how could Hashem punish them for what they did? It gives other examples. The Rambam is discussing in Hashkafa. Hashem tells Moshe, the Jewish people are going to eventually worship Avodah Zarah, and they're going to get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. So why are we punished if Hashem already tells us that we're going to do Avodah Zarah, and why are we punished for that? If Hashem is already predicting to Moshe that we're going to stray from the path of Torah, and we're going to do a Avodah Zarah, so why are we punished for doing the wrong thing? Hashem knows what's going to happen, right? L'fi shelo gazal ish ploni hayadu ashiyahu hazona el kol echad b'echad me'osan hazonim lavod kochavim hazalos ilu l'ratza lavod lo haya obeid. The Rambam says, was it ever decreed that Abdul in Mitzrayim and Muhammad in Mitzrayim, whoever it may be, are they going to be the one to afflict the Jewish people? No, it wasn't on the individual. What did it say? That the Egyptians as a whole. But there was never a decree that said, you know, this one is going to do that. This one, that we can't happen. Why? Because according to the Rambam, it's critical that we all have bechira chafshus, that we all have free choice. If there's no free choice, then what's the point of doing anything? There's no reason for reward and punishment. If we're all programmed, then why should there ever be any reward and punishment, right? So the Rambam says, this is critical. When Hashem says, Avram, your children will go down to Egypt and they will be made slaves, every Egyptian had the free choice to not do it. Nobody forced them. They all had bechira chafshus to not do it. They could have decided, it's not going to be me. It would have worked out inside. Hashem would have made it happen in some way. But you don't have to be the one to volunteer it. You have free choice. Hashem was just making a statement. This is what's going to happen. They're going to end up in Egypt and they will come out. But I'm not saying that you're going to do the bad thing, or you're going to do the bad thing, or you're going to do the bad thing. Nobody's ever decreed to be a Rasha. Every single person sitting at this table has free choice. You have the choice to be a Rasha, you have the choice to be a Tzaddik. Every single person. Nothing is decreed. For example, the Torah says there will always be poor people in the world. Does that mean it was decreed that I have to be poor?
No.
The situation in the world is there will always be poverty. That's just the nature of the world. But it doesn't mean that you have to. If you want to get a job and not be poor, by all means, you don't have to be poor if you don't want to be poor. Each and every one of those individual Egyptians who afflicted and caused evil to Yisrael, could it have happened that one morning an Egyptian woke up and said, "You know what? This is terrible. What are we doing to the Jewish people? I'm not going to be part of this at all." Could that have happened?
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. Nothing. The only thing was Paro. Paro at a certain point has free choice taken away. Not a discussion right now. But everybody else could have said, you know, what am I doing? This is terrible. This is evil. I'm not going to partake in this. Shelo gazral ish yadua elahodiyo shesov zaro asid lishtabed be'aretz lelahem. All we were told is that we're going to go to a land that's not ours. We're going to be slaves. But every single Egyptian had the right and the 100% free choice to say, it's not going to be me. That's what the Rambam said. Is that the Rambam's clear to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban in Brachos and in Parshas Yisro does not agree at all with this approach. And therefore he explains the punishment of Mitzrayim was different. Again, let's review. What is the Rambam? Why were the Egyptians punished according to the Rambam? Why?
They chose
to be evil. So they were punished for what they did. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says the reason why Mitzrayim was punished was Shehosipu lahara. The mitzvim were given a certain amount they could be evil. Okay? But they stepped over the line of what was acceptable. They threw Jewish babies into the water. They embittered their lives. They wanted to wipe out the Jewish people. That's why Hashem says, Dan Anochi, I will judge. Shavi Osam B'Mishpat, I will judge that nation. What is Hashem judging, right? Hashem tells Avram, I'm going to judge that nation that afflicts the Jewish people. What are you judging? You said that you're going to send them down to be slaves. So what are you judging them for? Says the Ramban, no, I'm going to judge, did they cross the line, right? B'nai Israel can receive this much affliction to fulfill my nebuah. But if the Mitzrim go above my line, they cross that line, well then, that's on them. That's what Yisro says. They were zadu. They did it purposely. Their knowing and willful and planning affliction of the Jewish people led them to be punished. And then look what the Ramban says. He quotes our pasuk in Nehemiah. Ki adata ki hazidu aleihem. And that's what it means, what we say in davening, that you know Hashem, that they crossed the line. Yeah.
How would the Mitzvah have known what was crossing the line?
There was a certain... if you wanted to make the B'nai Israel slaves, that's fine. That's what they're supposed to do. But the act of destruction and the murder of the Jewish people was not what Hashem wanted. That became something that was evil. At that time in the world, it was normal to have slaves. It was a normal thing. So to put a nation to slavery was considered, I guess, not amazing, but certainly not evil. But to go and actively try to seek and destroy every single last Jew, that Hashem was not interested in. Look at the Kedusha Slavery. Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, he writes in his section called the Klal HaNisim. Look what he says over here. He says, Shehaya Smeichim B'tzaras Yisrael. They were happy. And this should ring true for current events in our time. They were besimcha for the tzaras of the Jewish people. That's evil. If you want to tell me, you want to have some sort of ridiculous argument that you're freedom fighters, or that, you know, you're defending your land, or whatever you think the Israeli government is doing, I don't know. I guess we could have a conversation about that, which is ridiculous. But now, you're besimcha b'tzaras Yisrael? Says the Kedusha Levi. It's mamash rishus. You're besimcha that you're causing pain to somebody else? That is not the Ratzon Hashem. That is not what Hashem intended. That's what it means, that you know Hashem. You know how mean they were. They wanted to be evil. They wanted to be terrorists against the Jewish people, not simply to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. It was purposeful in their heart. They wanted to do bad with Bnei Yisrael. Therefore, they should get the makos, the 250 makos by the sea, all of that as well. So says the Kedusha Levi, besimcha tzaras Yisrael. That is unacceptable. It's true that Hashem declared slavery for the Jewish people. But it was Mizraim, it was Egypt, that chose to do so in a terrible, cruel, and sadistic fashion. Kadosh Baruch Hu saw in their hearts that their deeds and their viciousness came from a place of evil, and Hashem saw it went beyond the initial gzeirah. There happens to be just an important mussar over here as well, and that is that if a person is caught in a situation in life, as it happens from time to time, where you're forced to do something negative, you don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. I have to do something that I know is not the right thing to do. And you have to proceed through whatever it's going to be. Hashem knows what's in your heart. If you do it with a heart that says, I have no choice, this is what I have to do, and when I'm done, I'm going to regret it. Okay, Hashem knows what's going on. But if you do it with a heart that says, you know, I'm happy doing this, and I'm enjoying this thing that I'm not supposed to be doing, then Hashem also sees that as well. Hashem is bochen kol levavos. Hashem knows if you're doing that thing with besimcha, or you're doing that thing with a sense of regret over how you're acting as well. Let's finish it up, and let's conclude this section for tonight. Then the section continues. Vatas lecha shame kayom hazeh, and you made a shame on this day. This is the second reason for the signs and the miracles. Again, what was the first reason for the miracles? To punish Mitzrayim for their evil. What's the second reason? Vatas lecha shem kayom hazeh. It was to show and to reveal to the world the power of Hashem. To show that Hashem runs the world, that Hashem is in control of the world in every single facet. The pasuk says in Shmos Parak Tes, V'ulam ba'avor zos ha'miniticha ba'avor ha'risicha, es kochi, to see my strength. People will tell of my glory and my name throughout the world. That was the purpose of the miracles, says Hashem. There are many places in Tanakh where we find that the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf were a way of being megala kvod shemayim, to reveal Hashem's glory to the world. I'm just going to bring you four examples, and we'll draw to a conclusion. One is in Shmuel Beis Parak Zayin. Mi kam cha Yisrael, goy echad baretz, who is like the Jewish people? Asher halchu Elokim leftosos lo la'am, that Hashem redeemed you as a nation and made you a name, v'lasos lachem gedul l'gornos arsacha, and made you great, b'pnei amcha asher padis lacha b'mitzrayim, goyim elokab before the Egyptians. Lasom lo shem, to take and make it know that Hashem's name is great. Hashem took you out of Egypt to make you know that His name is great. Yishayahu, the end of Sefer Yishayahu, Perach Samach Gimel, v'yizkor yimei olam, you'll remember the days of old, Moshe, Amo ayah ma'alam ma'im esroi etzono, Moshe, and it goes on to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it says in the pasuk, "Bepneim la'sos lo shem olam." Hashem took Moshe to take Bnei Israel to make a name for him forever. Okay, let's look in Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Beis. Asher samta ososa mos embaras mitzrayim, that you put signs and miracles over the Egyptians ad yom hazeh that are known to this day over Israel and amongst the Jewish people. Vadam v'tas lacha shem kayom hazeh. Again, we have Yirmiyahu telling us it was done to make a name, a shame of Hashem, to make His power known. And finally, in Sefer Daniel Perek Tes, v'ata Adonai Eloheinu asher hotzeis eschem hem mitzrayim, Hashem, you took the Jews out of Egypt. V'yad chazaka v'tas lacha shem kayom hazeh. To make a name for yourself. So we see kama v'kama, many, many places in Tanakh where this idea of Hashem using Mitzrayim as a vehicle to reveal His glory and His kavod to the world.